We're going to talk for a little while tonight and try to analyze and evaluate our own level of commitment. And I was going to just read what was up there, but that's all right. The question we'd like to each of us to ask is, how committed am I? And so that's an important question. Now, I phrased it in that talking about me, but each one of you needs to fill in your name there. How committed am I? When we think about these kinds of things, you might look at a couple of scriptures. You know, Jesus says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." As we read this here, it tells us what kind of commitment the Lord is looking for. And I just ask you a question. What does the word "all" mean to you? It's not some. It's not none. It's an entire description of how much we need to love God and how much we need to be devoted to Him, to doing His will, to living for Him, to making Him the Lord of our life, our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. With each one of those, has all your. You might look along with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 as we think about this concept that we need to evaluate, we need to measure how we are doing, how each of us individually is doing. The scripture says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" We need to be putting ourselves to the test. We need to be looking at these things, evaluating, looking closely so that we can consider these things, to examine ourselves. Can we say, "I love God with all that I am. I love God with every bit of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength." That is God's call to commitment. That is what Jesus says is the first and great command. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? That He says, this is where you need to be. This is the level of commitment that you need to examine and see if you're there serving God fully. Well, as we look at that, how committed am I? And we'll just, in a few moments tonight, take a look at some things that I hope will be helpful. When I think about how committed am I, something that we saw in those passages, we might also see as we think about that, that God demands total commitment. I'm going to tell you something now that I probably ought to save till the end. Maybe I will let you know then too, but when we think about being committed to God, He is worthy of our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is worthy of that. He's not asking too much. When we say He demands total commitment, that's exactly what He deserves. That is not too much. It's not a burdensome thing that we're talking about, and it's not an unrealistic expectation that He has of us, that we would be totally committed to Him. I asked earlier, what does all mean? But I want you to take away tonight to know that when we talk about our commitment, that God is worthy. He deserves every bit of this. When we look at this total commitment, you have a very similar statement that Jesus quotes, and it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." It's very similar, not exactly the same. With our might, that's our strength. Loving God with all that we are. When you think about Psalm 37 and verse 5, I read there, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act." Commit your way You say, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to live for God. And tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to live for God. And it's going to be all day long and all night long that I'll live for God. I'll be committed, totally committed, not halfway. We'll talk about that in a moment. When I look in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61, this is an occasion when David was talking to his son Solomon and talking to him about what it's going to mean to be a leader of the people. And in 1 Kings 8, verse 61, it says, "Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in His statutes and keeping His commandments as at this day." There's a word there, holy. It's not H-O-L-Y. We need to be holy people. But the word here is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, entirely. Not a partial amount. Entirely. Holy. The whole thing. As we say, the whole enchilada. Everything that we are, that we're serving God with that. God demands total commitment. And also, when you think about the lesson tonight, that half-hearted service is rejected. When we give God the leftovers, that's not good enough. When we put other things before God and we serve them, that's not good enough. Half-hearted service just doesn't cut it. In the book of Hosea, you're probably familiar with that, that here God has His prophet go out and marry a wife of harlotry that He knows is not going to be faithful to Him. And He has to keep taking her back and breaking His heart. And we find out that's how God feels when we're unfaithful. But look at some of the problems that we have here when we think about half-hearted service. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early." It's not uncommon around here that we have dense fog advisories. That we know that it'll maybe rain for a couple of days and then it'll get warmer. And in the morning, they'll say there's a dense fog advisory, but it'll expire at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., because the fog's going to burn off. So your love's like that. You start off real good, but it evaporates. It goes away. It doesn't stick. It's just some of the time. And another passage there in Hosea where the prophet talks about, and the words of God here, "Ephraim makes himself with the people, mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned." Now, I tried to figure out what that means. I'm not exactly a chef or a baker, but I don't know what turning a cake is about. But I looked into this a little bit, and maybe there was a time in which, because of their cooking equipment, they had to turn it over. But it means basically you're half-baked. It doesn't, and I don't mean that in an insulting way. He's saying that the cake that represents you is not done in the middle. I wonder if our faith could be like that. If our commitment could be like that. And so see, even back in the Old Testament, God did not accept half-hearted service. In fact, I know that you're familiar with Revelation 3, Laodicea, "Because you are lukewarm, I will reject you. I'll spew you out of my mouth." And you say, "I'm just fine." You know, when the Lord brings a charge against you, you better wake up and pay attention. They say, "I am rich, have prospered, and have need of, and I need nothing," not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus Himself taught in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 No one can serve two masters. See, you can't say, well, I'm going to serve the world. I'm going to serve a paycheck. I'm going to serve my earthly pleasures. And I'm going to serve God. Serving two masters? He says, no way. It doesn't work like that. You have to make a decision. Because half-hearted service doesn't cut it. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon, riches, depending on the translation you're looking at. In Matthew 10, Jesus says a really hard teaching here. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What did I say a moment ago? That God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, they are worthy of our commitment. But He says when you put anything before that, you're not worthy of Him. You're not worthy of what He can mean to you and do for you, take care of you. What does He list there? Father or mother, son or daughter, not taking your cross. You know, I've told you recently that some of you have heard me say that being a grandfather is just one of the best things. But I have to realize that being a child of God is the best thing I can be. It's the best thing I can be. And that nothing can come before God. Nothing. Because if we try to fool Him and offer half-hearted work and worship, He's going to reject that. You know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, there's sometimes you can get away with half-hearted service, doing things halfway. Maybe it's on your job that you don't give. You ought to give 100%, but you don't. Maybe it's whatever project you take on that you say, well, I'll just work on this here and there and now and then. But what we see is that when it comes to God, anything less than all, anything less than holy, anything less than the entirety of our heart and our commitment is unacceptable. We've got really four main points to look at. There's two of them. Jesus is the example of total commitment. He's the example. And when you think about this, before I get right into the points I've got specifically to make, I want you to think about those words of Jesus on the cross. When He said, "It is finished." And I think, wow. Wow. What Jesus came to do, and we're going to look at that in a moment. What He set out as a mission for our sakes. He said, "It is finished." He'd done it. He completed it. He didn't give up almost there. He didn't give us half of what He came to do. He gave us His all. And He is worthy of our all. If you look at a couple of scriptures with me, Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse 38, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus, what I want as the human side of him doesn't matter. What my Father wants me to do here, that's what's important. Total commitment. In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Has anyone not eaten today? I didn't see any hands go up. I guess I'm lucky because some of you may sometimes put off eating a little bit. My food, just like we take in sustenance and nutrition and we take in what we need, just like that, we have a devotion and a commitment to God. Just like our need for some physical things, water, a certain amount of food, a certain amount of exercise. Jesus says, my food, what sustains me, what keeps me going each day is to do his will and accomplish his work. Accomplish, it is finished, he said. I think about Jesus in the garden. This is where he left some of the disciples, then he left some more disciples, and then it says he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Put this picture in your mind. Look at what Jesus is saying. Can you see yourself saying that? Something horrible is happening in your life. Maybe someone you love very much may not survive. Maybe you may not survive whatever thing it is. And you pray, please, no. Please don't let this thing transpire. But Father, you are all wise and all knowing. You are the Almighty God. And your will be done. Can you say that? That is total devotion. It's not saying, Jesus didn't say, oh, no problem. This is a cinch. Jesus says, if it's possible, let it pass. But I'm committed to you. Almighty God, I'm committed to you. And I'll do what it takes. Will you say that? Will you say, I'll do what it takes. I'll live for God. Well, Jesus was that example. And then you might look over with me in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus was committed to doing what it took, as painful and as awful as that was. Just one more. God does demand our total commitment, and he's worthy of that, by the way. And when we give less than that, we're not worthy of him. Half-hearted service is unacceptable. And we look to Jesus, who is our example. So, how committed am I? That's really the title of the lesson. But I want us to ask that question really and truly. How would you measure your level of commitment? Now, that guy in the nearer part of the picture, that's supposed to be Peter. I have no idea what Peter looked like. And that guy farther out, that's supposed to be Jesus. And I don't know what Jesus physically looked like either. But you can imagine about when Jesus came near the disciples walking on the water, and Peter says, "If it's you, let me come to you on the water." Now, I don't know if I'd have been like Peter or not. But I could see how you just want to say, "Oh, look at that. That is an amazing miracle." Even though he had seen Jesus do a lot of things, that's amazing. Gravity is not pulling him down. It's not that just Jesus knew where the rocks were. He's not subject to the laws of nature. Let me do that. We'll look at that a little more in depth. I want to ask you, as you measure that, first of all, are you a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or service? Would you wake up every day and look into your life and say, "I'm living for the Lord today. I'm that living sacrifice he talks about. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to sacrifice in whatever way I need to and be his child. And just like they offered up sacrifices in the Old Testament, I'm just going to totally devote my life to him." How committed am I? Am I the living sacrifice that he calls upon us to be? This is that passage in Joshua 24 and verse 15, where Joshua talks to the people as he's going to be their leader, or has been their leader, and he says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." Decide. Make up your mind. Are you for God or against him? Are you totally committed or not? He says, "Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He makes a bold commitment in the face of those who might not be in agreement with it. Let's look at this passage in Matthew 14. The disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Your imagination ever get away from you? That's sort of what happens here. You see that, what is this? I don't know. It's there's someone out there on the water. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see what Jesus is doing here with Peter? He's building and increasing his faith. But Jesus wanted Peter, as he got out and he walked on the water, he wanted him to walk to him, to trust him, and to trust God, and to know that it was going to be okay. But even Peter, who observes this great miracle, he wants to do this. He starts sinking when he was afraid and doubted. Not total commitment. not totally of a mind frame. I'll serve God. I'll walk with Jesus wherever He goes. You know, I think this is a hard question. Maybe it's not as hard to evaluate as it is hard to be honest about. How committed am I? How committed, how devoted to God am I? When I ask myself that question, you know, that's not an easy answer. But once again, Jesus is worthy, and we can trust Him, and we can trust our Almighty God. We can put all of our confidence and our faithfulness behind Him, knowing that He is true. I have a question or two to ask you, and then we'll be done. Are we going to try to give God a full or partial offering? Do you remember the man who came to Jesus and he said, "What should I do? What should I do to inherit eternal life?" And he quotes some of the commands. And Jesus says, "Okay, go and sell what you have and give to the poor." And we read there that the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. I've tried to lay it out tonight that we need to be giving God all that we are, a whole sacrifice. And when we realize that, we can make two decisions. We can give that to Him, or we can say no. It's too much. I'll walk away. That's supposed to be a blank check with the pen there. When you think about this, are you willing to give God a blank check when it comes to your commitment and say, "God, whatever you want from me, I'll leave the amount up to you. Whatever you want from me, you decide on the terms, and I'll stay committed to you no matter what." Would you take out your checkbook tonight and sign it and give it to me and put my name in the blank and say, "Here you go, Paul, just whatever you want." Would you do that? I don't see any of you saying no, but I don't see any of you saying yes either. I wouldn't probably do that with anybody. Would you do it with God? Would you just say, "I'm devoted to you, and whatever you call upon me to do, that's what I'll do. Whatever comes up in my life, whatever I have to do to live for you, I'll do it." I'll trust you that what you ask of me, I'll accomplish. I'll trust you to be with me and to see me through. I don't know what your answer to the question is. How committed am I? Are you totally committed? Are you half-hearted? Do you look at Jesus as the example and say, "That's how I want to live"? We each have to look at that and ask. I thought Mark had a really interesting invitation that if you weren't ready to give God everything, that you weren't ready to obey the gospel. Are you ready to give your life to Jesus? Are you ready, just as He died, He was buried, and He arose, that you'll die to sin, not live for it anymore, that you'll be buried in baptism and rise up out of those waters to walk in newness of life, a faithful life, and you'll have the hope of eternity? You can be committed to Jesus. He's been committed to you. Whether it be a child of God who needs to come home, and by repenting and confessing and praying, you can be restored. Because you've not been as committed as you ought to be. we're ready to help in every way we can. We all have room to grow. We all have areas we need to improve in. But we send out the gospel call in hope that there'll be a response, even this night, as we stand and sing.